The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Scott Peters on today's show. We've been putting Scott off with the draft and everything, and now we can actually get caught up. Scott, of course, very popular in the Valley, former Sun Devil offensive lineman, has tip of the spear his own O-line company, and has been hired by the Cleveland Browns. So Scott is going to Skype on in and be good to catch up with him on his journey now that he's part of the National Football League, one of the well-known figures here in the Valley on the offensive line circuit, Scott Peters. Last night I found myself watching much more of Michael Jordan in depth and seeing segments from Last Dance again last night. I actually watched the version, I'll talk to Eric about this in a second, I watched the version over on ESPN2 where they do all the bleeps, and it's not nearly as effective. I'm not one to use salty language. I don't frown on it. It's just there are times where I get, like most anybody, I get frustrated and will drop one or two or five or ten, depending on the moment. But when Jordan gets bleeped versus seeing Jordan just say it, there's something that's just not quite as impactful on that. So I'll talk to Eric about that. It's a front page story today on sports helping the nation heal. It was in the LA Times I want to talk about. And this is a day to really get caught up on some things. Tomorrow, Amari Stoudemire is going to be with us. Looking forward to that. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with your life insurance. When you go through all your financials and you say, this is what I have in my checking, this is what I have in my savings, I have my will done, I have my living, and you go right down the line of everything, do you have the life insurance piece with the check mark off? Has that been done? Do you even have right down to when I pass away, the funeral is paid for through Peace Assured, another check of the box? This is not morbid stuff. This is being smart. You're protecting those that matter most to you. So when you are not here, everything goes on smoothly or even better. And that's at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, log on to Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. We appreciate their support. Scott Peters comes up at 10:35. Eric joins us. And who do you have on your 2020 vision first and foremost today?
Hey, Brad, good to see you. Today's guest, I'm really looking forward to. Well, I'm looking forward to all of them. But today I am going to have Madison Liebman. She is a senior soccer player at Chaparral High School. She is going to the University of Pennsylvania next year on a soccer scholarship. So she has the grades and she has the skills. And the most amazing thing about her is she is a four-time defending 6A state champion at Chaparral.
And her senior year, no prom, no graduation.
I don't know about that. I will ask her that. Yeah. But it's pretty unique when, you know, most kids would dream of winning one state championship, and she won four.
That is awesome. That's kind of like the Barcelos. You know, I was talking to their dad the other day. So the Barcelos, there was Alex Barcelo, was at Corona del Sol. He went to U of A. Now he's at BYU. There's Julia Barcelo, who I coached in club. Then there's two more sisters coming along. They've now won 10 titles in basketball. The Barcelo family has won 10 high school titles here in Arizona. It's like the first family of basketball. And so it sounds like a really cool story you have coming up as we continue to honor those high school seniors who had the plug pulled on them. And we've had great response to it. Yeah, it started with Scott Van Pelt, but let's put it on a macro level, you know, right down from macro to micro, right down here in Arizona, and focus on some of these own high school kids. Because graduation would be in, like, I don't know, 23 weeks or so, thereabouts. So what?
23 days.
23 days.
Not 23 weeks. That'd be, I mean, who knows? They might be doing graduation in 23 weeks.
Well, it's going. No, I think, seriously, I think today's a big day because Ducey's supposed to talk this afternoon. The governor's supposed to talk today. Now, is he going to have that smile like you have, which is, I have nothing new to say? Or?
I am less optimistic than most. I think if anything gets open, it's going to be a real slow open. So people are like, oh, my gosh, by next week, everything's going to be open again. No,
it's not. You know, it's funny. It's not funny. It's sad about this. So on a personal level, Eric and I know someone who lost their mother to the coronavirus, Larry Gatos. It's been public. It's out there. Larry hosts, co-hosts the afternoon show over on KTAR. You are very close to Larry. I know Larry. I wouldn't say we're close, but I think a lot of Larry. And so last night I'm talking to somebody, he's like, you know, this really hasn't impacted anybody in Arizona. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't mean it in disrespectful terms. I was thinking of Larry yesterday. His mom's all the way back east. She passes away back there. We came very close, my wife and I did, to having her parents be put in an assisted living about 4 months ago. There's an assisted living place right down the street from us. That's had like 12 people wiped out from coronavirus. So when I hear people that say, you know, this really has been overblown and it's a media creation and they focus on, you know, all the people dying and there's really not that many per capita. Guess what? One person died from this. So if you guys want to minimize what's going on, what are you thinking here? You were impacted by Larry's mom passing. I know that. I know you haven't even seen each other. We haven't even talked about it.
Yeah, for sure. The backstory with his mom, now that it's public, is she had been fighting blood cancer for 5 or 6 years. But once she got the virus, it basically just wiped out her immune system and weakened her to death.
Yeah.
So she technically died from the virus. Her health was poor before she contacted it. So,
but there's people that will say, well, she had underlying health conditions. Yeah. Did you see the story of the emergency room doctor in New York City that took her own life because she just couldn't handle this? And that happened yesterday. I mean, So when people are like, yeah, just stick to sports. No, this is going on. And if Governor Ducey relaxes things a little bit, or if he relaxes things a lot, or he says, we're going to continue doing this for another month, I am not going to bitch about anything because it has impacted people. And if you and I don't see each other, if we're doing this for another month or 2 months, it's fine. It's fine in my world. I'm not anxious for him today to reopen.
I think, Brad, he can reach a happy medium in the sense that maybe let's give this another 2 weeks. And if things are stable in 2 weeks, maybe let's slowly reopen some things, but not like just open the floodgates and let everyone go crazy, because that's not the best plan either. So.
Well, and last night I talked to a dad and I've heard from a lot of dads about they're concerned about the college football season. They want to see ASU football because Jaden Daniels is all that. They want to see the high school games because what is life without having high school football on a Friday night? They want to see the Cardinals because the Cardinals are going to be interesting and good this year. They're going to be interesting. I don't know if they're going to be good. I think they're going to be good. But it's a team that hasn't had a playoff game since 2015. So, you know, let's just slow roll this thing out. I don't know if people are thinking with their heads, though, rather than their hearts, when it's, I just want to get back to normal with sports. That's easy to say on a sports show. That's not common sense in a lot of cases, though.
And I feel that people have adapted to, to the current situation. Of course, we all miss sports, but I sense that the new normal is now, for most people, just the normal. Like, we're all used to just working from home, and we're all used to just FaceTiming with friends and leaving the house only occasionally. It's going to be great when we can return to doing our day-to-day activities, but at least now it's not so shocking, Brad. It's just, okay, I know what we're doing here.
Well, I want to take a break because on the other side, I want to get into how sports will help heal, because I do think that there is a place for that. And I want to talk about it, not just on the pro level, but on the college and even on the high school level right here across our great state. We'll get into that. And then Scott Peters, Eric's 2020. Stay with us. One thing that I saw today, just on a rant side, before we get into on what I want to touch on in this segment, which is this nation coming back and the state coming back with sports. With Governor Deuce, he's scheduled to speak this afternoon, and the anticipation is things may open up. The fact that the Lakers put in for a PPP loan of $4.6 million, you simply can't make this stuff up. You can't make up that a franchise that has millionaires running around in shorts and tank tops, a lot of them, and that has Magic Johnson courtside and Jack Nicholson courtside and all sorts of celebrities and plays in the NBA, you cannot make up that they decided, somebody somewhere decided, hey, we've got to put in for a PPP loan because we're going to be in trouble. And so the Lakers put in for $4.6 million for a coronavirus loan. And then what do you know? It pops up on a radar screen. What do you know? Like, you know, we could probably get this past everybody, a PPP for $4.6 million, even though we're the NBA and our history has, you know, we had employees like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jerry West and Magic Johnson and James Worthy and the late Kobe Bryant. What a smart idea. This goes to show, Eric, like example number, 10,000, that there really aren't a lot of smart people within sports organizations and franchises.
I would say if they're going to get that loan, give every single red cent of that to the people that actually need that money.
They gave it back already.
Okay.
And they gave it back, but they applied and got it granted to them. And then somebody's like, hello. I mean, could you imagine? I understand they probably said, yeah, the concessionaires and all. I don't know. Genie Bus, you might want to take a loss on this because the amount of crushing you're going to take nationally is not worth the, yeah, let's fill out the paperwork.
How many small businesses in California could that $4.6 million help fund through this?
Oh,
hundreds.
No, I mean, it's just
thousands, probably.
So there's that out there around the virus. And again, the theme here is Governor Ducey in about 5 hours is going to talk about reportedly reopening or where we stand on not reopening. So let's get into the sports side of things. Ken Rosenthal reported this morning on The Athletic that the idea of playing in Arizona is becoming less and less tolerable for Major League Baseball. He reported this morning that potentially the idea of being Arizona, Texas, Florida would be the way to go. He reported that maybe it does go to let's go to our individual cities and play in front of nobody, and then that would slowly open up to about 15,000 fans. So Ken's clearly done that. Are we okay with this? I'm okay with that one. I don't have any problem with that one.
I'm okay with it as long as they're safe. I mean, they're going to be traveling by planes, but I'm sure every Major League Baseball team has their own private plane. So there would be safety in numbers in terms of the travel. But I wonder if the people at MLB just opened up the Weather Channel app and looked at Phoenix in late April and saw 106 degrees coming up this week and said, that might not be such a great idea after all.
But again, it would be indoors for at least three games a day, seven innings, three games a day. Ken Rosenthal also reported that camps would open. They would need like 7 to 10 days advance notice of camps opening, and then they would need about 15 days for camps, and then they would need some ramp-up time in terms of games. Like if you're a starting pitcher, chances are you'd probably go two or three innings, even in your first few starts of the regular season, that they would pick up the schedule for the most part where it left off, but they would play into mid-October. They would do the World Series at a neutral site, which then brings Phoenix into the equation, which may be the front end of what the World Series probably should be if we're just talking from a business standpoint. It should probably be what the Super Bowl has been. And you could probably put it in two separate cities, do the first three games or first two games in one city, the next two games in another city. You can make it East Coast, West Coast, whatever. But I do think change is coming to baseball, Eric, on this one.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, Brad, when are we looking at June then for baseball starting? I mean, we're almost in May.
Yeah.
And then you said it's going to be another week to get camps open, and then like another
7 or 10 days.
And then another 2 weeks or so spring training 2.0.
So, and Ken said potentially, wrote in The Athletic, I should say, wrote could be a July 4th start, which would be fine. You could market the heck out of that as here we are, baseball's back, Americana, we're back to normal. Got it.
So how long would the season go if they're not starting until July?
So again, it would go until, clearly you weren't listening. It would go until
I just missed it. I'm sorry. No, I was fine, listening. Fine. I just missed it.
Go until mid-October, and then the World Series would go till maybe mid Thanksgiving down to December 1st. All right, so that's baseball. Basketball. So Adam Silver has said May 1st, I'm going to announce where we are on all this, which I think has been smart. The downside is the Atlanta Hawks tried to reopen yesterday. It didn't happen. And so now they're saying they need another week or 2 weeks. They need to spread out all the equipment. They need to put everything in a space where there's no more lunch lines, where it's just a buffet. That's got to go away. Which is not good news. If you own a Golden Corral, you might want to think of a different business, right? I think the idea of going back to the buffet, probably not happening anytime soon.
And no more super salad, huh?
No. I mean, sweet tomatoes, maybe in trouble.
Exactly.
Maybe in trouble. It's like we talked about in early March when this first started, mid-March. The idea of drive-in movie theaters is going to come back. And guess what? It's come back. That one wasn't hard to predict. Even the Schnepp Farms has put one up in their grove, and on Friday and Saturday nights they're showing movies, right? If you own a Sweet Tomatoes, or if you own any place that's got a buffet, I'd say update your resume right about now, or just look for a different model.
And the thing is, Brad, that also includes the high-end buffets, like at the resorts and where they serve good food. Even they're probably going to have to reassess.
To look at it. All right, so Adam Silver is May 1st. So Friday is going to be another big day, if we're to believe that he'll address it. NHL, I have not really gotten a feel. I've talked to a couple people over at the Coyotes. It sounds like they're waiting to see what the other leagues are going to do. The NFL next week, towards the end of next week, is going to release their schedule. So the NFL is still in a place other than, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, I think it was Ian Rapoport that had it. There's four different scheduling plans now out for the NFL that they're working on. One of them would be an October 15th start date. So everybody's looking at pushing back at the pro level. Now let's go over to college. I sent you the story last night. Texas Tech cut, what, $6
million? $6.7 million.
Out of their athletic budget. That's not going to be the last school that will do that. That's not going to be the last school that starts cutting sports.
I am a little surprised though, Brad, that a Power 5 school in a conference that actually has a decent TV deal would already start slicing away.
But in Lubbock, Big Cigar Oil Man, Big Cigar Oil Man, who's been writing the whole athletic department's check, yeah, it's a little different for him than it was 10 days ago with the price of oil.
Fair.
So you have to factor that in terms of, when people are like, oh, yeah, no, they're just rolling in money, which they are in the TV deals. But the local deals, if nobody's going to come to the games and Big Cigar Oil Man likes seeing his name all around the stadium and there's nobody there, okay, what is the point of that? That's one. Two, I think it was interesting. I don't know if you saw this. Oregon announced that they are going to go start their fall semester on time. So they're going to start in September.
And they're on the quarter system. They're not. They don't do it traditionally like most colleges do. So
Stanford has said, at least for now, they're not going to start until January. So let's just look at Pac-12 football. The presidents have already said we are not going to start college football until schools are back in session. They've said that. Now, has somebody sat them down and said, so here's the dollars. You know, here's where the decimal point is. It's way down here if you guys play games. And it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe we should reconsider. And maybe it'd be a good idea for us to I don't know. I didn't know the decimal point was that far down because I'm the president of Stanford. But Stanford has said January 1st. Does that get pushed back? The numbers of bowl games that are about ready to implode, which would probably be a good thing from in the business space. You like having 38 bowl games, right? So I'd like to have about 20 bowl games. So will some of those go away because corporations have been wiped out? And from sure. what I'm hearing on the sports business side of things from people much smarter than I'll ever be is, yes, you can expect bowl games to go away. Okay, where does that go with the high schools? So high schools are sitting here in Arizona, and I think California is in a really interesting spot because the governor over there is trying to keep everybody pinned down. And people are saying, yeah, we're going to the beach anyways. Read between the lines. We're going to do what we want to do. That's what they're doing. So my understanding is all the high schools that go to California in July have already said we're not going to those camps. Okay, that's one. Two, I'm hearing that the high schools are supposed to play out of state in August. That's not happening. You know, Notre Dame Prep's supposed to go to Ireland to play. I don't know where that stands. I think a couple weeks ago you talked to their coach. I don't think Castile's going to go out and play Vista Murrieta in mid-August now. That's just me. I've got a son that goes there. And there's others. DeSera, one of the best programs in all of California across the country, is supposed to come here to play. DeSera is supposed to play Chandler High School, defending state champ. Huge game, third week of August, just on a high school level. Will the governor of California say high schools can't travel out of state to games? Will that game even happen now? So you start to look at some things at the pro, college, and high school level on all this, and I think for us, today is a big day. Now, if Governor Ducey comes up and says, I'm just not ready to say anything yet, I'm fine. I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah. But today could be that day. So
I got a question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Yes or no question.
Fire away.
If the college football season plays out like we think it will, yeah. Will fans be in stands watching college football games?
Yes, but in limited numbers.
Okay.
Yes, in limited numbers. That's kind of a cop-out, I think, because, you know, if you're at Alabama, think of it on this, and we just had Greg Byrne on the show. Let's say Alabama says they're going to allow in 10,000 fans, okay? In a 90,000-seat stadium or whatever Jordan-Hare holds. Could you imagine the ticket price that they could ask to be one of those 10,000 at Alabama? Because we got in. We get to go to the game, and you don't. And our tickets are, yeah, we're spread out. We got four tickets. And those tickets could be, those ducats could be $250 apiece. And all of a sudden, they're $1,250 apiece. Or whatever to help the athletic department make up for it. If you're Arizona State, you lose. Let's say we go under what Brock Huard talked about with us. That is, we may have games in the early part of the season that don't happen. Well, Arizona State's actually in a pretty good spot this year because their non-conference is going to UNLV. It is the NAU game. That game actually could get pushed back, the NAU game. The Regents would probably say, figure it out because we want the money between these schools.
Sure.
But not playing UNLV, and I think the other one is Sacramento State this year. That doesn't impact ASU at all. It really doesn't, other than will things be a little sloppy if they open up right with a conference game. I don't have their schedule in front of me. I don't know who they'd open up with around September 15th. But if you're Ray Anderson and you say, we're going to let 10,000 fans come in, are there really that many deep pockets that are going to say, hey, I get to go to the ASU game in September when it's still 99 degrees at kickoff. And oh, by the way, they'd really like it if we bought up a whole bunch of tickets that will never go and we'll use it as a write-off because we support Sun Devil Athletics that much. Maybe because Jaden Daniels is a quarterback. Maybe because he's a future first overall pick, potential. They might get some buzz off that. But, man, if you are in a smaller conference, let's just say you're San Diego State. If you're San Diego State and the Aztecs get 15,000 fans, 25,000, 30,000 fans, And they're playing on a late Saturday night against Colorado State. Good luck with that. It's not a swipe. It's just it's reality. UCLA, they're already used to not playing in front of anybody. The Chargers, they're already used to not playing in front of anybody. That's just how it's gone. But these are things, Eric, that if Arizona full-blown opens in California, Governor Newsom is really a key, and I think Governor Ducey, I think both governors, Arizona and California, those two states decide to open things wide up, then the western half of the country is going to follow them. Like what New Mexico does doesn't impact Doug Ducey. So,
true.
You know, and then when does Vegas open back up? I think that's the other big part of this whole equation. You know, crazy mayor up there goes on the air with Anderson Cooper and just loony too. But when does that one open up? So Scott Peters is next, and then we'll continue on. Stay with us. So when I heard the news that Scott Peters was going to go to the National Football League to be part of the Cleveland Browns coaching staff, I was thrilled. Full disclosure, Scott had been working with my son just a little bit on his offensive line stuff. Son was just starting to get into it. But I'd heard Scott and his reputation around the high school area in Arizona. He'd taken safe football to big levels. And then the Cleveland Browns came along, and I said, at some point, we got to get Scott to Skype on in here to just find out what the heck happened and what is he doing. And here is the former Arizona State Sun Devil, an NFLer. He's back in the Valley, and for now at least. So it's good to see you. How did this all happen?
It's a very mysterious thing, Brad. What really happened was I've been doing consulting work for some teams around the league, and one of the coaches, offensive line coaches that I developed a really close relationship with is Bill Callahan. And Callahan is, in my opinion, the best offensive line coach in the game. And he got a job with, you know, he was the interim head coach last year with the Redskins. He had stepped up from the offensive line coaching position. And he was like, I don't know if I'm going to coach, you know, this year, but I'm like, Bill's going to coach. And of course, like, you know, he got an opportunity with the Browns. And then, you know, he asked me if I wanted to be his assistant. And I said, wow, absolutely. He said, send me your resume. I said, I don't have one. So I didn't have a resume. I'm like, oh, I better produce one quick. He goes, well, get it to me quick because I got to get it over to the head coach. And then, I just put together a resume. And I was out in Alabama for a clinic and for a high school coaches clinic, a convention there and a conference. And then I submitted my resume. And then the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, called me up. And he goes, hey, can you come in for an interview? I'm like, sure. So I was on the plane and I got my interview and I got hired and then boom, and I got shipped out to Cleveland. So, and it's been amazing, except for the coronavirus.
Yeah. So in a span of like 48 hours, your life just changed.
Yeah, it changed pretty quickly.
That's awesome.
But you know what though? It was something I was really wanting to do. It was something that was in my, you know, I feel like I, you know, hit certain levels of things and I got to a point with safe football, which is tip of the spear. Now we call it tip of the spear, but I got to a point with that where I'm like, you know, I want to go to the next level. And to go to the next level, you got to be immersed in the problems at the highest of levels. And so that's really where I feel like I can do my best work and, you know, get a chance to help the game in that regard and be exposed to the highest level problems, I guess, is what you'd call it, to develop these guys. So it's a great opportunity for me.
How receptive have they been? Because you've not had OTAs or any of this because of what has happened. So have you really been able to interact that much with the current NFL linemen? If you have, how receptive are they, or you simply don't know yet because you haven't been able to get to them?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing it the best we can. We're doing it through virtual, just like you and I are talking right now. We have a lot of, you know, everybody's doing the Zoom meetings and things like that. So that's how we're doing it. But we have good rapport with all the players, and Coach Callahan's got a great rapport with them. And we're giving them, you know, I'm on assignment doing, you know, instructional videos for them. So it's kind of interesting because it's kind of where I came from, right? I was making these videos for people and training guys remotely with tip of the spear. And so really for me, it's like, boom, I'm back in Arizona. I'm making now stuff for the Browns. We're interacting with these meetings. So it's been really good. I think it's not ideal, but what we're using the time for, which is great, I think it's smart, is you can go deep. You can take deeper dives on certain aspects of your game, you know, of your game. I mean, so that part is good. We're taking as much of that opportunity as possible to dig into the playbook, get the guys, you know, versed on that, start covering the glossary of techniques and starting to teach and implement those things. So the guys, the one issue is that no one's interacting together. but physically, but it, you know, it's they're professional guys. I mean, they're preparing on their own, so that's good. And we're getting a chance to maybe go into some more details that maybe otherwise we wouldn't be able to do if they were we were all together. So taking good opportunity, it's an opportunity that we're taking advantage of.
Talking with Scott Peters, now assistant offensive line coach, right? That's the official title with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. So give me an example of a day where you reach out to a player or you make a video and what it's like for you to work directly with an NFL offensive lineman. What does the video look like? What do you put in there? What is the message you want to send out?
To be honest, I mean, the videos aren't all that different than the ones that we have on our website right now that, that we retrain coaches with and other players because, but it's extremely detailed. And Coach Callahan, and again, we've had a longstanding relationship, so we're on the same track in terms of our what we're trying to do, our techniques. So what I'll do is coach will have a concept we're talking about in terms of a scheme. I'll go out and find grass somewhere in the valley, you know, usually at one of these schools that's open, that's if I can, or a common area, you know, just to find a spot to set my tripod up, get my cameras going, put my audio out and just roll. And I just basically teach, you know, techniques that are, you know, just teaching the techniques of the day. And then, you know, you go from the stance all the way to you're starting at like, hey, the ball's pumped up to 13 pounds. And then you work your way up to like seriously, you work your way up to seriously advanced techniques, you know? So that's that with that, said, I don't know that that's always, you know, possible in the normal circumstances. So we're actually getting to cover a lot of really good ground. And it's pretty cool because I'm learning a lot myself, but having a chance to use some of the skills I've developed on as, you know, a business guy, like an entrepreneur running a training business, you know, I can now, you know, bring that to the Browns, which is exciting.
When you're working with an offensive lineman, this may be a silly question, but I think I've been asked this in the past about a team that knows that as the season progresses, they're going to be playing in elements. Cleveland, you're going to be playing in elements, and it could be really nasty elements. So what is it that you do, if anything, different in working with an offensive lineman as the season progresses? Yeah, we're going to be on turf. We're going to be in this space, and it really doesn't matter where we play. Everything is the same, or are there different elements that you go through?
I mean, really, the one of the keys, and Coach Callahan has put together this thing. It's called, you know, this series of basically traits of what makes a great pro offense lineman. And one of them is mental toughness, obviously. The conditions and elements don't matter. The physical conditions don't matter. It's all in the mind. And we're prepared to do anything we got to do, whether that's in the, you know, 115 degrees outside, or it's in Cleveland and it's below 10 or something and you got terrible, you know, freezing rain. I mean, that stuff's possible and it's going to happen. So the guys, you just prepare your mind for anything and everything, and you don't really give it much thought.
In terms of what you're doing with Tip of the Spear, how is that moving forward now?
It's going great. You know, I stepped out of there. So Mike Pollock is running Tip of the Spear, and he's doing an awesome job. Todd DeLamelier, Todd's dad is Joe DeLamelier, is an NFL Hall of Famer. Those guys have taken it over, and they're doing awesome. You know, Mike's just they're taking it to the next level. He's done a lot of virtual training because a lot of our groups that we work with, high schools, especially around the Valley, here and actually across the country, obviously we're not meeting with them to train them. Mike can't go out. The guys can't get out there to train them, so they're doing the virtual training. And just trying to step up and fill in, give guys some good inspiration. Because right now, I think there's a lot of people that really want to see football come back. But geez, they want to see everything come back, you know. So right. So what Mike's done a nice job of getting stuff that people can do in front of them, like drills, and not all kids are going to have access to like a gym, for example, or even a partner to train with. But we have, you know, he's put together a lot of great content for them to be able to, you know, continue their advancement. Because once the season comes, hey man, we're all subject to the forces on the field. We gotta prepare our bodies physically. So that's kind of what everybody, I think, just seems to be doing. But that's what Mike's done a really good job with Tip of the Spear. So Mike is an ASU guy too. Mike played in the league for 7 years, second round pick, and an awesome guy, just and a great teacher. So he's I'm proud of him for how he's done with Tip of the Spear. It's awesome.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with Scott Peters, now assistant offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns. Where do you see this going for you?
Well, I mean, you know, you enter into something, you want to be the best. So, I mean, I want to at some point be a line coach. I want to be the head line coach, and I want to be the best, you know. So, I mean, that's something I really want to do. I want to continue to grow. I mean, I'm in a fortunate position because of Callahan. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better mentor to work with. He's got so much experience there as a coach in many capacities at every level. And just a really He's like the Jedi, you know. He's got all the knowledge. So I want to extract that knowledge. I want to learn from him and work with him. And at some point, I'd like to be a be my own guy. And down the road, when I'm ready for that, which I think will be possible under Coach Callahan. So yeah, that's the goal, and eventually become the best line coach in the game.
That's great. It's great. It's good to see you. Good to hear your journey and your story. And best of luck to you, and keep at it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Brad. Great seeing you, man. You guys stay safe.
There's Scott Peters with us, assistant offensive line coach with the Cleveland Browns. Sports360AZ.com.
Welcome back. I am Eric Sorensen, and we are pleased to continue our 2020 vision segment. Today, we are going to go out to North Scottsdale and catch up with Madison Liebman. She is a senior at Chaparral High School, and she Skypes on in with me. Madison, I'm just going to start by asking you, how are you holding up during the downtime, for lack of a better term?
Well, it's pretty rough, or started out pretty rough, but I'm kind of getting more used to it, getting more in routine of like working out every day, at least doing something active, whether it's running, biking, hiking, something just to keep me active, especially coming up that my season's gone. So I was pretty bummed that my whole soccer season got canceled, but doing as well as I can. I'm sure a lot of other seniors are pretty bummed, but what can you do right now?
Right. In terms of quarantine, sort of take us through your day from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, and how you're staying not just physically active, but mentally active as well.
Well, I usually wake up, eat breakfast, do the normal things, and I usually have a workout session for 2 hours, get touches on the ball, whatever it may be. And then I also still have homework and like quizzes and all that good stuff. So it definitely keeps my brain pretty sharp. So I usually do that, eat some lunch. Depending on when I finish, I could sit by the pool, hang out with my brothers, just do normal family things. And I usually walk my dogs, go on a bike ride, whatever I can, just to get out of the house, get a little breath of fresh air, then have dinner, and then basically do it all over again.
Now, you and I talked a little bit earlier. You're probably one of the few student athletes that I've ever talked to that has won 4 state championships, dating all the way back to your freshman year at Chaparral. Looking back on that experience, those experiences, I mean, is one of those any sweeter than the other? Is the first any greater than the fourth? Or do they all just sort of run together when you have so much success on the soccer field?
I'd say the fourth is probably the sweetest, because it kind of proved that like my class was why it was happening. So I was pretty happy that me and my class could pull it together, and we had such good chemistry all the way through our 4 years. And every year was just amazing, unreal experience throughout the whole season. I would very recommend anyone to do any type of school, soccer, sport affiliated thing. But honestly, just the fourth one was very nice because my whole team came all together. It was very well deserved. A lot of heartfelt battles. So it was, all of them are very awesome.
All right. Well, last week we had on one of your friends, Connor Tosi, over at Saguaro. And he told me that his quarantine hobby has become fishing. Jake Martinelli at Horizon is into puzzles. Paxton Earl at Arcadia has been just killing it on TikTok. What have you been doing to sort of, you know, have you started something new, a new tradition, something that you've been doing to help pass the time when you're not working out?
I'd say, well, actually, I just started like training to work at my aunt's nectar. So does that count? My aunt likes a nectar. So I'm trying to work there.
Cool.
Something to do. But probably been doing the most things with movies and everything. So,
well, clearly you're an excellent soccer player, but it also, most importantly, should be noted, you're a really good student. You're going to the University of Pennsylvania next year to play soccer out to the Ivy League. Take us through why Penn was the right choice for you.
I will. So basically the whole process of college recruiting is very stressful, but throughout the years, like, completely like popping my bubble. It's a new city, new people, everything you can kind of imagine, and obviously a great education. I love their program. They have the kind of same mindset as me as being very driven, wanting to win, prove themselves in the Ivy, to get out of the Ivy tournament, play in NCAA. And I just love the environment at Penn, and I'm really excited to see what my future holds there.
Very cool. Very cool. Take us through, as someone who has gone through the recruiting process. You mentioned it was stressful. If you wouldn't mind explaining what you liked about the process, what kind of you didn't like, and if you have any advice for a student athlete that is either getting recruited or is going to get recruited to play in college.
Well, I started getting recruited like eighth grade and freshman year. And so being a freshman in high school, it's like you already have to think about what you do in 4 years. And like, it's really stressful because everyone else in your class is not even thinking about it. And so I'd say to people now, because I know there's a rule now that you can't talk to people for at least soccer until your junior year. It's just definitely, if you have a college you like, be very persistent, keep the communication, invite them to your games, do everything you can. And if their liking is reciprocated back, then they'll show it and they'll come to your games. And if that's what you want, keep working hard for it because it'll happen. And that's one thing that I took out of it is the amount of hard work you put in is what you get out.
Great advice. Certainly great advice. Okay, second semester, senior year, Chaparral High School. It's supposed to be the time of your life. It's supposed to be you're kind of winding down on the high school side of things, getting ready to go to college. For you and every single other member of the 2020 class, that has been taken away. If you wouldn't mind, first of all, catching us up to speed, will there be any sort of prom at Chaparral?
Well, I know that a lot of people are talking about doing it more in June or July if things are calmed down by then. But honestly, right now, everything's pretty like up in the air. And I know a lot of people are bummed with prom and just walking across the stage for graduation. So honestly, we're all hoping for the best. No one has a set plan because can't really now, but I know that everyone in my class just is trying to make something work at least for a last hurrah of our senior year.
And there's no plans for a formal graduation as of now?
As of now, I'm pretty sure our graduation got canceled. So it's really bumming for all of us, especially it being our last year and everything's supposed to work up to this year. But I guess we can't really expect more, but
sure.
Actual graduation, but I don't know how that will work out.
Last question. Just circling back on your training, do you feel like you've been able to keep your body conditioned, kind of breaking from your normal training routine, or have you stayed to that routine even during quarantine?
Honestly, I've probably done more since I'm not getting the practice aspect or playing games aspect of being able to actually be in a game scenario and sprinting and just like more of like your game IQ, but I've done more with like my body and physical aspect by like making sure I train every morning, making sure I'm eating well and all that stuff to keep myself engaged in my sport.
That's good stuff. Well, Maddie, I appreciate you Skyping in and being today's 2020 Vision guest. Great stuff. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the road. Okay.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
That is Madison Lieben, Chaparral senior defenseman or defensewoman. I don't really know. What is that before I let you go? Is it just defense? How's that? I don't want to phrase it wrong.
So.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. She is today's 2020 Vision guest. She is on her way to the University of Penn. And I am Eric Sorensen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.